संप्रदाय कृष्ण प्रसाद गले श्रीमती भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी नामी नमस्ते सारस्वती देवी गौरवाणी पुजारिणी विशेष शून्यवादी ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
Mad after sense gratification does not hesitate to act sinfully.
यद इंद्रिय प्रीत्य आप्नोति कि परफॉर्म सिंपल एक्शन सिंपली फॉर सेंस गैटिफिकेशन न साधु मन्ये दिस इज नॉट गुड यद आत्मनो यम असन अपि क्लेशद आसदेह because of such simple action one receives another body in which to suffer as as he is suffering in his present body because of his past simple activities. It should be understood that a person who does not have Vedic knowledge always acts in ignorance of what he has done in the past, what he is doing in the present, and how he will suffer in the future. He is completely in darkness. Therefore, the Vedic injunction is Tamasi Ma, don't remain in darkness. Jyotir Gaman, try to go to the light. The light of illumination is Vedic knowledge, which one can understand when he is elevated to the mode of goodness or when he transcends the mode of goodness by engaging in devotional service with his spiritual master and the Supreme Lord. This is described in the Shvetashvatara Upanishad 6.23. यस्य देवे परा भक्ति यथा देवे तथा पुरो तस्यैते कथिता विभक्ता प्रकाशन्ते महात्मनः. And to those great souls who have implicit faith in both the Lord and the spiritual master, all the inputs of Vedic knowledge are automatically revealed. The Vedas enjoin tat vignatam sagurum eva vigacche. One must approach the spiritual master who has full knowledge of the Vedas and be faithfully directed by him in order to become a devotee of the Lord. Then the knowledge of the Vedas will be revealed. When the Vedic knowledge is revealed, one need no longer remain in the darkness of material nature. According to his association with the material modes of nature, goodness, passion and ignorance, a living entity gets a particular type of body. The example of one who associates with the mode of goodness is a qualified Brahmana. Such a Brahmana knows past, present and future because he consults the Vedic literature and sees through the eyes of Shastra, Shastra Chakshusha. He can understand what his past life was, why he is in the present body and how he can obtain liberation from the clutches of Maya and not accept another material body. This is all possible when one is situated in the mode of goodness. Generally, however, the living entities are engrossed in the modes of passion and ignorance. In any case, one receives an inferior or superior body at the discretion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Paramatma. As stated in the previous verse, Manas Manasaiva Pure Devaha Purva Rupam Upashyati Anumi Maam Sate Apurvam Manasa Bhagavan Ajaha. Everything depends on Bhagavan or Ajah, the unborn. Why doesn't one please Bhagavan to receive a better body? The answer is Agnyas Tamasa, because of gross ignorance. One who is in complete darkness cannot know what his past life was or what his next life will be. He is simply interested in his present body. Even though he has a human body, a person in the mode of ignorance and interested only in his present body is like an animal. For an animal, being covered by ignorance, thinks that the ultimate goal of life and happiness is to eat as much as possible. A human being must be educated to understand his past life and how he can endeavor for a better life in the future. There is even a book called Bhrigu Samhita which reveals information about one's past, present and future lives according to astrological calculations. Somehow or other, one must be enlightened about his past, present and future. One who is interested only in his present body and who tries to enjoy his senses to the fullest extent is understood to be engrossed in the mode of ignorance. His future is very, very dark. Indeed, the future is always dark for one who is grossly covered by ignorance. Especially in this age, human society is covered by the mode of ignorance and therefore everyone thinks his present body to be everything without consideration of the past or future. ओमज्ञानतिमिरन्दस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाखय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदामह्यं ददाति सत्पदान्तिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवम् साद्वैतं सावधूतं हरिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादां सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्ण करुणा सिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकानाथ राधाकान्ते तप्तकाञ्चन गौरङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरि वृषभांसुते देवी प्रणमामि वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्चिन्दुभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरवभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम So we are hearing the Yamaduda Vishnu Duda Samvad conversation between the Yamadudas and the Vishnu Dudas. The Yamadudas started speaking almost from verse 40 onwards. When the Vishnu Dudas were surprised as to how the Yamadudas did not know the code of Dharma, what they are standing for, who they are representing. That's one side of the surprise. The other side of the surprise is Yamadudas are surprised. How could such a sinful person like Ajamila not be punished? Because they got a list of the sinful reactions that sinful actions and the subsequent reactions that he is going to face. He is a sure candidate for punishment. How could such a person be saved by exalted personalities like the Vishnu Dudas? Then the Yama Dudas start to quote scriptures as when you are challenged in terms of your skills, you will quote the authority. So when a lawyer is challenged, he will quote the law of the land. Then depending on the crime, then there is a different kind of law that you quote, civil, criminal, all of that. In the same way, in every field, you have the authorities and they have a set of books which are being considered as a standard, and then you start quoting from that. Here, Yamadudas, although externally not looking very good, but they are trained by one of the Mahajans, who is Yamaraj himself. So, they are quoting Vedas, they are quoting religious principles, they know Lord Narayan is the supreme cause. How there are different witnesses for the actions done by the living entities in this material world. The potency of Yamaraj himself, how he acts in cooperation and under the guidance of the Lord in the form of Super Soul, then the power of modes of material nature, the three modes and the effect of the modes producing peaceful, then restless and foolish people, corresponding to the goodness, passion and ignorance respectively. How the current actions of a living being determines the next body. And that's where today's verse Prabhupada goes into details about the transmigration. The framework that gets used here is, many frameworks are getting used. One of them is the three modes: goodness, passion, ignorance. Then the framework of time in terms of past, present and future. Then we are analyzing a person in the mode of ignorance through past, present and future. Then the next framework is the knowledge which drives the worker to do a particular action. Then he has a particular type of understanding, then his intelligence is taking him through to a particular path, and then there is the result. This is another framework that is being utilized. They are all coming from Bhagavad Gita, the last six chapters. This gives a graphic picture of the intensity of the entanglement. Having described how the living entity is bound, then the solution is given. What is the solution? Described in the purport. Yes, so the solution is described in terms of surrendering to spiritual master. Then what happens? He gives Vedic knowledge, engages the disciple in the process according to the psychophysical nature of the disciple. Then the ignorance is removed, as we see the word Janmasmriti. He is able to see himself, like, why am I here, why did I get a particular type of body, what's the consequence of my current action, and how is it going to affect the future. So he is given the Shastra Chakshu. And based on that, his destination will also change in the future. And he sees, acts as per the spiritual master, where does he go? So the impact of ignorance, that's the first point I wanted to discuss based on what Prabhupada said in this particular purport. As we saw, the framework of a person in the mode of ignorance, then on that we are applying past, present and future. Now, a person in the mode of ignorance does not know why he is situated in this particular type of body in the present moment. He does not know what he did in the past to get this particular type of body. And in the present, he is continuing his sinful actions, without knowing the suffering that he is going to go through in the future. So in the current life, Prabhupada says he does not hesitate to perform sinful activities. An action means there must be a motivation. Factors that motivate action are knowledge, object of knowledge, and the knower. So the motive here for a person in the mode of ignorance who is suffering in the present life is sense gratification, and in the present life is engaged in sinful activities. Why? Because his knowledge is in the mode of ignorance, completely unaware of self-realization. If you're not aware of self-realization, forget about God-realization. So, although it is said as knowledge, that knowledge is under the mode of ignorance, these persons could be materially very, very expert. Somebody can take their phone and give up some colleagues, prisoners from our position. Yes, knowledge in the mode of ignorance is completely, it's a kind of a misnomer in one sense, like it's knowledge in the mode of ignorance. So you're covered about the spiritual side and you're only aware of the material side. And you think you're intelligent, you're smart, and you perform activities and you don't see spirit soul at all. Work is what is important. To get the work done, I can do anything. So there is no spiritual knowledge at all. This many of you can relate to your workplace as to how some of them might be very good at getting the task done by hook or crook. And therefore, they don't see people, they see only work, projects, timeline, budget, people, work has to be done. For that, they will put themselves through a lot of hardship and they will not hesitate to put others into hardship. They are simply interested in their present body and the consciousness is compared to that of the level of an animal. Focusing only on the happiness derived, as Prabhupada says, animals derive happiness by eating as much as possible. So a person whose knowledge is in the mode of ignorance does not see people, sees only work, thinks that his body is all in all. If he is proceeding in this way, Prabhupada wants that his future is very, very dark. So this is the impact of ignorance on of how a person sees the world, how he acts. So if knowledge is in the mode of ignorance, that's how the worker will work. And that's how his action will be. And his understanding will be based on that knowledge. And his motivation and his intelligence will be driven by that knowledge. As a result, he may get some temporary happiness, but in the long run, as Krishna describes, the result is his blind to self-realization. He doesn't spend time for self-realization at all because he's fully engaged in material activities. So this is how the we are introducing the third framework of knowledge, then the action, the worker, the intelligence, buddhi, as Krishna describes, then dhriti, determination, and the result is happiness. Because we are Satchitananda, as Gangesha Prabhu was saying yesterday, these three, Satchitananda, they are tightly linked. So a worker must be alive and conscious, and if you're conscious, you will be active when you're always seeking happiness. So this is how we see the person in the mode of ignorance is motivated by sense gratification, and his happiness is totally blind to self-realization, then forget about realizing God. In the purport, Prabhupada contrasts a person in the mode of ignorance with a person in the mode of goodness. So what's the example Prabhupada gives for the person in the mode of goodness?
Brahmana.
So, the Brahmanas are given as an example for those in the mode of goodness. So that introduces another framework of how society is divided based on the modes. Because modes are acting, and then within society how you see that application is through the Varnashrama system. Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya and the Shudras. So, if the knowledge of the Brahmana, who is acting in the mode of goodness, he is able to see living beings as individual souls and their part and parcel of Krishna, although the externals are different. That is why in the Gita we have the famous verse, Brahmana looking at different living beings. Do you know that verse? Yeah. What does the Pandita see? What are the living beings he sees?
He sees
the chandala, okay.
Animal,
human beings, scholar. Yeah, what does he see?
And every
living being. You see the dog, the eater, then elephant. So you might remember we collect a picture. So the externals are different. In the same picture you see soul and super soul next to each other. The Brahmana is seen, Pandita is seen. He sees undivided spirit in all beings, although situated in many forms. So this is the vision of a person in the mode of goodness. Equipped with this vision, he can understand why am I in this present body. The plus and minus, the advantage, disadvantage of my current body is due to my pious or impious activity in the previous life. That's why I got here. So he has the understanding of the past life based on what he has got, because the body, which is considered as the dress for the soul, we have a dress, a dynamic dress, which changes dynamically, grows and goes through changes. So we can say that this dynamic dress, at one stage we need to give it up and we have to take another one. So the Brahmana is aware of that. Why he is in the present body is aware of the past. Prabhupada says, he is aware of how to get out of the clutches of Maya. He is aware of that also. Next point Prabhupada mentions is, he takes guidance from the Vedic literature, and through that, he is equipped with the Shastra Chakshu. He is able to see the world through that vision, and as a result he becomes detached from the modes. And because Vedas and Vedanta Sutra and Bhagavad Gita especially gives the knowledge of the three doers, and it also gives knowledge of how the jiva is bound. The subject matters in the Vedic knowledge discusses about Ishvara, Supreme Controller, and the living beings who are part and parcel of the Lord, and then the material nature. Material nature is the Daivi Yesha Gunamayi. So the Gunamayi Maya, she has got the three modes. And acting as per the modes. So one is able to see that the modes are acting, and he is slowly getting detached, is getting detached from the false ego. A Brahmana is clear in his understanding of what is to be done, what is not to be done. So here we are talking about in real life, you see people at work who get projects done, but they are also concerned about how they are getting it done. They don't just see the work, they see people who are doing the work and how much the work is they are producing is impacting the society, how much good they are doing to the society, and they try to minimize the
bad impact, because every action will have some resultant reaction. There will be some bad reaction, but they will try to minimize. So that's why in workplaces you will see this principle of avoiding the use of paper so much. They say if this email or this doesn't need to be printed, it's good. Avoid printing, so that has an impact on the environment, because the more paper we use, the more trees need to be cut. So at workplace, these kind of measures are being introduced so that they have a broader vision. They're not just getting the work done, but they're seeing the impact of their work on Mother Earth, impact of their work on fellow human beings, on the country. So it broadens. So such a worker who is equipped in the mode of goodness, his determination is strong and he has enthusiasm. That's a steady enthusiasm despite facing success or failure. So initially, when a person takes to the mode of goodness, Krishna describes it as poison in the beginning. Yatta agre visham eva hariname amutopam tat sukham satvikam rupam atma buddhi prasadam. So if you want to make the switch to the from the mode of passion or ignorance to goodness, it will be poison in the beginning. Visham eva. But the end result is amritopamam. It awakens one to self-realization. So that's the mode of goodness. How it creates a good platform for a person to take up the next level of going to the mode of pure goodness. Prabhupada explained that goodness is not always pure in the material world. There is always contamination of passion and ignorance. So, as we know, there is a constant competition among the modes. So, goodness is not always safe. So, one has to transcend, as Prabhupada writes in today's purport also, that one can come out of the modes by taking with the goodness and pure goodness. Now the next theme or the vision through which we will see the current purport is the role of the living being, material nature and the super soul in arranging a body for a particular jiva. So the role of jiva, prakriti and paramatma in getting a particular material body. So this section from the 13th chapter of Bhagavad Gita that Krishna describes in detail, because that section Prabhupada says that if you want to understand the transmigration of a living being, one has to read those key set of verses from the 13th chapter from 21 onwards, where it gives cause and effect analysis. Cause and effect analysis. Cause and effect analysis basically it describes and presents how things happen, why things happen, and who is playing what role. So that's why Krishna will describe that in Vedanta Sutra is presented as to cause and effect. So this verse itself will begin, who is the cause of what? Nature is the cause, is said to be the cause of all material cause and effect. Whereas a living entity is the cause of various sufferings and enjoyments in this world. So this clearly tells who is who. Who is responsible for what? And what is the role of each one of them? We are discussing about nature, jiva and paramatma, and the role of them in producing different bodies. So the role of material nature, if you want to understand, say if you are going to a grocery shop, you buy different items, you put them, and then in checkout you are given a bag, and in the bag you collect all the items. The role of material nature is like that of creating the body, which is like a bag, and this dynamic bag grows, as Mr. Kaysberg grows, and material nature arranges the body according to what you desire. And then she does a nice packaging, puts the living entity in the bag, and this sum total, as Prabhupada says, is offered, sum total of the body and the instrument and the senses, yantra, is given to you by the material nature. Yeah. You see earth, water, fire, air, ether inside us, and then there is earth, water, fire, air, ether outside us. So she creates the outside environment, and she also gives us the body. The external environment also, as described by Krishna, is temporary and full of misery. If the external ingredients are full of misery and it is temporary, and we are getting, deriving a body from that, you expect the same. Body is also going to be temporary and full of misery. Dukkhalayam Shashvatam, the environment outside us is like that, and the body that we got, that also is temporary and full of miseries. Now what does the jiva do in this, what is the role of the living being? Prabhupada writes, according to one's desires and activities. So that's what the jiva does. It desires and engages in activities. To enjoy the material nature, you desire, and then the nature gives you the particular residential quarter, as Prabhupada says. It places you in a residential quarter, which is the body. So jiva is capable of desiring, he wants to act on those desires, and he wants to experience happiness. The aim is happiness, whether we get it or not, that's a different thing, but the aim is happiness. So to execute the desires, you need a proper instrument, and that is what is given by the material nature. So the role of jiva is that he wants to lord over the material nature, and he is getting attached to that enjoyment, as Prabhupada describes elsewhere in the probably in the 15th chapter of one of the purports, as to how, as you are getting attached to material nature, you will give up the service to the Lord. And the moment you give up service to the Lord, you get more entangled, and your propensity to lord over material nature increases further. So desire is a subtle cause, which you may not see, and then karma is the actual gross or direct cause. Prabhupada writes, it might be more clear to state that this body is the effect of the senses, and the senses are the instruments for gratifying desire. So desire is the subtle cause, and karma is the, see, the effect. So that's why the cause and effect is the direct cause. Now what does the super soul do in all of this? Where does the super soul come into the picture? Super soul observes and sanctions Upadrishta Anumanta. Although the living entity thinks he is the enjoyer, he is just cooperator. If you see, take the example of drinking water. Okay, so Krishna says he is the taste of water. The organs are given to us by the material nature, and we are just cooperating in the enjoyment between the Lord and His energy. So we are not the actual enjoyers, although we think we are. Because what we are looking for, the taste, that is Krishna, and the ability for us to enjoy that, the sense organs, that's also given by the material nature. So the Lord is enjoying His energy and we are cooperating. This is the actual scenario, but the living being thinks that he is enjoying. The super soul will sanction. So you desire, you perform activities, and then there is a sanction on the super soul. Now, with this past, present and future, what the super soul does is, when the living entity gets a new body, super soul gives you forgetfulness of what you did in the past. So, imagine if we had to carry the burden of memory of what all lifetimes we had and the sufferings we went through, we may not be able to function properly in this present body. So that's why super soul gives you forgetfulness of the previous life. But the crucial point is, he was witnessing you when you were doing those activities in the past life. He was a witness, along with the witnesses that we saw in the previous verses. He was one of the witnesses. And he accompanies you in this life by giving you forgetfulness of your past life. At the same time, he gives you remembrance of where you start off and perform or continue your activities here in this body. The example given is that of young puppies of the dog. They naturally go towards the mother to get milk. Who is giving that knowledge? The puppies didn't go to school. Who is sitting inside and giving that knowledge? Who is directing? That is the super soul. That remembrance gives, in this present life, how do I start acting? That is given by the super soul. And from the current life, Paramatma gives intelligence, knowledge and remembrance. That's how in 15:15 Prabhupada puts it in the purport as to the role of Paramatma in the jiva getting a new body and starting actions in the present life. He was a witness in the past. He gives you forgetfulness of the past. In the present, he gives you remembrance of where you start off. He gives you intelligence, knowledge and remembrance. Under this guidance, the living entity starts to, so he has got a new body, he's given by the material nature, Paramatma's guidance, and then he starts to associate more with the material nature. So this is how the union between the Prakriti and the false Purusha, the Jiva, is happening. And thereby verse 22 of 13th chapter tells that the living entity is responsible and therefore he meets with good and evil among various species. This is the depth of entanglement of the living entity, the various causes, the effect of it, and how much the modes affect in entangling a living being. Having seen how the bond is created between the jiva and the material nature, we will look at who breaks the bond. That's where the role of spiritual master is there. So Prabhupada writes a lot of instructive statements in this purport and also in the 13th chapter, his sense of urgency is seen when he writes that one has to rise, therefore, above the three material modes and become situated in the transcendental position. So that change, Prabhupada says, can be affected only by hearing from authoritative sources. Whereas the sense of urgency is there in the purport, one has to be situated, unless you are situated in this body, in Krishna consciousness, unless you are situated in Krishna consciousness, you will be obliged to act according to the nature of Swabhava of the body. And Prabhupada says, this nature can be changed. It gives a hope that by listening from authoritative sources, this fall down on the jiva, as we saw, tendency to lord over material nature, you give up the lord service, and the propensity to lord over material nature increases, become more attached, that fall down will reverse. It is possible to rise above. The beginning is hearing from authoritative sources. And that's how we transition to the next theme of the role of spiritual master, the importance of spiritual masters in breaking the bond between the Prakriti and the Jiva, and creating a bond between the Jiva, Paramatma and Bhagavan. So, what is the role of the spiritual master? That's what we look at based on Prabhupada's purports in the last 6 chapters of Bhagavad Gita. As laid down before us, we are seeing the role of the Jiva, the Prakriti and the Super Soul. Getting the basics right, that's what the spiritual master does. He gives the vision. Let's get the basics right. Before you start building a big building, you have to have a strong foundation. So spiritual master begins with setting the basics right. He distinguishes, he gives you the ability to distinguish between matter and spirit. And that, Prabhupada says, becomes the stepping stone for spiritual realization. As we saw earlier, the person in the mode of knowledge, in the mode of ignorance, does not see spirit. As we are getting work done, slowly we are able to see, distinguish between matter and spirit, because the spiritual master is intuitive. Then he gives various instructions. By that instructions, your spiritual position is clear. Yeah. We don't just stop by, the spiritual master doesn't stop by saying you are not the body. He also gives the understanding you are part and parcel of the Lord, you are a servant of the Lord. So the instructions of the spiritual master is so potent that Prabhupada writes that it cuts through the hard knots of the material nature. Because of the Purusha Prakriti union, the hard knot, and the spiritual master cuts the knot. As we see in the 15th chapter, the sword of knowledge, Krishna urges that one has to cut through the sword of knowledge. It's interesting to note that knowledge is given by Krishna, but the strength to lift the sword and to cut, that is given by Lord Balaram. Jnanasim Achyuta Balaram. And to take the sword and to cut the hard knot, that strength is given by Lord Balaram. And therefore, Guru, representing Lord Balaram, gives us the strength for us to cut the hard knot. Now the instructions, Prabhupada says, of the spiritual master, will also give one strength to follow the process. He says that the strength to follow the regulative principles comes from the obedience to the instructions. The regulative principles will become easy for you to follow if you get the blessings of the spiritual master. So that's why this verse is being quoted. Only unto those great souls who have implicit faith in both the Lord and the spiritual master are all the imports of Vedic knowledge automatically revealed. So Prabhupada writes in 13.8-12, because the bona fide spiritual master is the representative of Krishna, if he bestows any blessings upon his disciples, the regulative principles will be easier for one who has served the spiritual master without reservation. So you get the strength and you get the blessings. The process becomes easier if you get the blessings of the spiritual master. So if we look at the examples of those in the mode of ignorance who got the blessings and who got transformed, can anyone quote any examples of those in the mode of ignorance who got the blessings of the spiritual master and who got transformed? Sorry? Jagan Mother, very good. Yes, Jagan Mother was delivered by none other than Lord Nityananda. Then, Ratnanda. Hunter, yes. Is that the same as Mrigari? Mrigari is different. Mrigari, the hunter, was also saved by who? Narada. So, if you see their vision, they don't see living beings. Hunting, we don't care, living beings or not, we just hunt. Work is important. Living beings, we don't. So that's the knowledge, so they're blind to self-realization. Here comes the spiritual master. He intervenes and brings up the consciousness of such persons who are entangled by the mode of ignorance and by the power of the spiritual master's instructions. Those who are oblivious to what body I am going to get in the future, how much I am going to suffer in the future, how much sinful activities I am doing in the present, they don't know any of that. And the body of a hunter itself is the result of their past sinful reactions. So they don't know about that also. But here comes the spiritual master, Narada Muni. He changes the whole their life by giving wisdom from the Vedic knowledge to the level that he is able to access. Did Ratnakar become Valmiki or is that? I'm not sure. Because, is that? So you can see the transformation from the point of not seeing the soul, forget about seeing Bhagavan. That same person gets transformed who cannot even chant the holy name. The holy name has to be given in a reverse order, Mara. He chants Mara, 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 that becomes Rama. And then, by continuously chanting, he gets transformed. His consciousness, his work, all of that gets transformed. And then, he is able to write the entire Ramayana. Now, another example of when the one mode of ignorance got transformed is Prajapati Daksha was momentarily overcome by pride and all of that. He gets transformed after the intervention of Lord Shiva. How he gets corrected. Later, his heart is transformed. Then he comes up and he continues his service to the Lord by creating progeny. Now, any examples of those in the mode of passion who were transformed?
I was thinking of the woman, the prostitute in Haridas.
The prostitute liberated him, who
I don't know.
Prostitute, okay. Parsifal who got transformed by Haridasa Goswami.
Yes.
Okay.
So is that a passionate thing?
Combination of both. Yeah. She was ignorant of Haridasa Goswami's position and she wanted money, that's why they gave him that profession. So wanting money is passion. That's a good example. Thing that I thought of was Dhruva Maharaj himself, as we saw in the earlier canto. Fourth canto of Dhruva Maharaj, we see that as he himself says that his desire was to acquire the kingdom greater than Lord Brahma. Then he is checked whether his determination is strong. He not only intervenes there as well. Then how the transformation happens? By hearing the authoritative sources, following the process which is tailor-made for them at that particular point. Because in the forest, Dhruva Maharaj cannot make a deity out of a metal, so Narada Muni made adjustments, make a deity out of wood, gave the mantra, and then Dhruva Maharaj followed. Then got transformed. Then when he saw the Lord, actually he didn't, his all desires were gone. I don't want the kingdom. I was looking for broken pieces of glasses, but I am seeing you. I am grateful to my spiritual master. Tatam Chinman Apivya Ratnam. So another example from Bhagavatam which came to my mind about those in the mode of passion getting transformed is King Prachinabadi, who was engaged in a lot of animal sacrifice with the desire of promoting himself to the heavenly planets. Then Narada Muni gives a graphical picture through the Puranjana analogy. Then this is what you did in the past, this is what you are doing in the present, in the future this is how you will end up. So then he goes through that transformation, his knowledge, action, intelligence, everything is changed and he gets a better understanding. So thus we saw the transformation, the power of the spiritual master, how he is able to pick the living entity out of the deep entanglement of the material nature through the modes, and how he is able to elevate them wherever they are from the mode of goodness or below to the mode of pure goodness. And this, when the principle of elevation, then we want to have some practical application of how to elevate. As Prabhupada says, that those in the mode of ignorance are like animals who are attached to food. So even those who are attached to food can be elevated by giving them prasad. As Prabhupada writes in the 3.11 purport, by performance of yajna, one's eatable becomes sanctified. He quotes the shastra. Ahara Shuddho Sattva Shuddhi. Sattva Shuddho Dhruva Smriti. Smriti Gambe Sarva Granthi Naam Vipra Moksha. So here in the word meaning, we see that Nashta Janma Smriti. You have lost the memory. And here the memory can be reversed. How? By eating food stuff which is offered to the Lord. Ahara Shuddho Sattva Shuddhi. So when eating becomes sanctified, when foodstuff becomes sanctified, one's very existence is purified. Then what happens? What's the cause and effect? The purification of existence, you get finite tissues in the memory becomes sanctified. The result of that, when memory is sanctified, one can think of the path of liberation. And finally, prosperation, and all these combined together lead one to Krishna consciousness. So this is at the level of you applying it to yourself and extending to others. And Prabhupada says, This is the greatest necessity of present day society. And that's why you see the food distribution happening to address even those who are unfortunately caught in the mode of ignorance, for them to purify their existence, to get finer memory tissues, and then coming back to the path of liberation. So that's the potency of the power of bhakti and the instructions of the spiritual master, who is able to, as Sangesha Prabhu said, by the guidance of the super soul, Srila Prabhupada knows what to give, how much to give, when to give, to who, different persons in the mode of different modes, and still elevate them. Now, another personal application point for going to the mode of goodness, as given in 11.13 to purport. When you are situated in a time, especially not just in 13th chapter of 11th canto, other chapters as well, Krishna describes that there is items to be sanctified, the time, the place, the mantra, the whole list, it all can be sanctified by offering it to him and using it in his service. So, when there is a time period for the mode of goodness, when you perform religious activities at the right time, when the mode of goodness is prominent, what that does is it gives you the strength, you get invigorated, so that you get the strength to do more activities in the mode of goodness. So that's how the modes will give you the, it will create the environment for you, the field. Now what you do in that depends on individual choice. One has to make the right choice. And once you keep on doing a particular activity, that is what is going to come up more prominently each time you want to do other activities also. So if you are able to utilize the time when the mode of goodness is prominent and do religious activities at that time, so the later part of the day also, this strength will help you to overcome the other modes. This is how the process that is given by the spiritual master, each one of us individually applies and also extends to the society. So that, as Prabhupada writes, especially in this age, human society is covered by the mode of ignorance, and therefore everyone thinks its present body to be everything. So, by personally applying, strengthening oneself and extending it to the society, one can create a great impact. Not all of them in the society will take up properties and encouragement. Even if a small portion within the society takes it up, even if we are able to make them as brahmanas, then that is successful. So that gives an inspiration for those who are out distributing books and giving out prasad. So you see that that impacts the society. And that pleases Srila Prabhupada, and by his blessings we will be able to get out of the three modes and attain pure goodness. I'll leave it there and see if there are any questions on what we discussed. then you become plants. Then animals, and then when you come up to persons in the mode of goodness, their previous life could be a cow. Persons in the mode of passion, previous life could be a lion. Ignorance could be a monkey. So, and then you come to the human form, you're a warrior. So, animals don't have, they don't even become, but it's a progression, and then you're given. From human form, you can choose to go up or down. But what we can analyze is your present body situation in terms of health, your position in terms of finances, like how wealthy you are currently, and the parents that you're born to. All of that is an effect of your past.
I think I heard Prabhupada said the most of the rivers wouldn't have been an animal in the past. They would be a really human.
Yeah, so Krishna has described that if you leave your devotional, if you're not able to complete perfect your devotional life, then you'll be given, you take birth among the aristocratic family or the rich or among devotees. So, yeah, anyone wants to add to that?
I was thinking more about
even
the circle of Varnashrama.
So, Varnashrama in relation to connection to previous life.
Human beings.
Yeah. Human beings can take a varnashram and they have that choice to make. And if they don't, then
just 2 points. One is regarding this topic. So when in Gita, when Krishna says Swapna Kesidamasya, that means you will live in advance and that will save you from the greatest type of danger, that means the human birth is guaranteed in the next life. So that I'm just wondering, the transition to a human life could be from a past human life or from a demigod body as well.
Yeah.
Or from a lower species as well.
Yes, there's a point where you could have, yeah, there's a whole sequence about how you fall from the heaven to from
the
heaven to the rain to grain. Rain gets eaten by a man, and then man interprets a woman, like the whole sequence. So you don't necessarily have to come from bottom up, as Mother said, it could be from fall down from the heaven.
Prabhupada, a question. In Narayana's story, in a past life, he was son of a maid servant.
Yeah.
And then, is that an example of ignorance as well?
Narayana means previous life as son of a maid servant.
Making the transition from ignorance to ignorance.
Yes. So he is the remnants of the Mahabhagavats who come, and his mother serves them, and he also serves them. Gives the permission. And yes, so that's also an example.
So in that story, actually, I was just curious to know, does he hear from them? Because like what we understand from different other sources from Bhagavatam, the spiritual master gives us the sharp and the sword of knowledge, and then we cut the bonding. Whether Narayana actually heard from them, or whether he just hated them himself.
I have to read the section again, but what, based on what I heard is he also, when they were discussing philosophy, and he was also there and hearing from them. I don't know the exact references, but he heard from them, he ate their remnants, and he served them. So, was, of course, when there is hearing, there will be doubts, he would have asked questions. But what is more elaborated is how much dedication he showed in following the process. So So he became detached and took the blessings, the passing away of his mother, he took it as a blessing. And then he was fixed up in executing the process. Of course, he got the blessings from the Mahabharatas. And I need to read that section to find out if he actually got it. But what I heard other devotees speaking on this section, they said he took part in the discussion also.
We understand that the sickness and that his upbringing was favorable as well. To take birth from a woman that was dedicated to the service of sadhus. And also, it said that the son inherited the qualities of the mother as well. So the lady was an ordinary sutra, means that she has some qualities. And besides, we understand that we have a mixture of the modes of nature in us. We cannot say yes, ignorance, it's a mixture of them.
Yes, the birth in the son of the main servant could be a result of his. But that small good quality that makes servant to serve the Mahabharatas, that propensity, and as you said, he inherited that. He followed his mother, who was acting like was known for the Shukla Guru, engaging him in service of the Mahabharatas. And then the thing is there, and then the spark from there he took off.
Just one last point. Those who are illiterate, they don't understand the philosophy, but they're at the same time not exempted from going back to Godhead. So for them, if they talk about that, they would have to, I guess, serve the spiritual master.
Yeah, okay. So your question is about how well illiterates go back to God without reading Shastra. Okay. We have the example from Chaitanya Charitamrita about how the Brahma illiterate was trying to execute the order of his spiritual master. That endeavor, in one sense, that fact that you are illiterate, you will not have such kind of strong philosophical doubt about doubting the supremacy of the Lord. That fact you have that drawback could be used as your strength. You won't have strong philosophical doubt. You will be easily attached to the personal beauty, the pastimes, and the nature of the Lord. So that's what happened to Brahma, who couldn't read Bhagavad Gita regularly, but he saw the picture of how the Lord is acting as a chariot driver for Arjuna, and he got attached to the Lord, and that attachment is the actual conclusion of the Bhagavad Gita. So Mahaprabhu says, you know the conclusions of the Gita. So as said in this particular quote, Prabhupada says, the blessings of the spiritual master will help one follow the regulated principles. It will make it easy for a disciple to follow if he gets the blessings of the spiritual master. So the point is, even illiterates can become enlightened, and the Lord desires to give them knowledge, then that doesn't stand in the way.
So I just was considering that being illiterate doesn't mean you don't have knowledge, because we receive knowledge by hearing. For that I don't need to read, but proper attention. So I think we have the case of Gaurav, pure devotee, and illiterate. So I have another question. It's regarding, I was analyzing these stages of getting knowledge and being covered by the modes of nature, ignorance, so that in different periods of our life, even by practicing, while we are practicing Krishna consciousness, it's not guaranteed that we will remain in one state of consciousness. I receive knowledge and now, okay, I live all the time in goodness. I can be covered again and again recover myself. So in that case, I was analyzing the case of Arjuna. he associated Krishna, pure devotee, but he was also covered when Krishna started to preaching him Bhagavad Gita. So at that stage, when he was covered, the mode of ignorance, in the position of Krishna giving knowledge, rising of his consciousness at that time, can be the example that you were asking about.
Oh, yes.
Ignorance.
Yeah, Arjuna himself would be given as an example of a person who is covered by ignorance momentarily, then Krishna giving his spiritual master through giving him knowledge of the paths, of the pros and cons of different paths, and then the easy path characters, bhakti, then giving him for his varnashram position, this is what he must do. So, yeah, we can say that Arjuna got enlightened and moved from ignorance to pure goodness.
So you mentioned that like to transcend the three modes, the blessing modes are very important. But like in practical terms.
So to transcend the modes, the blessing of the guru is important. Yeah.
Like you gave the example of Guru Maharaj. Prabhu, you mentioned that to transcend the three modes, blessing of Guru is very important. To give example of Guru Maharaj also. My question is more practical, like when you are away from your guru, when you want something personally, or when you know that there are 25,000 disciples or 50,000 disciples, how can you like get that blessing of Guru? Or how can you see that, you know, manifestation that you are getting that blessing?
Yeah, even the example that you gave, it's not that Narayana is always next to Guru Maharaj guiding him gateway. He gave the instructions and he moved on. So, what Guru Maharaj did is, he followed the instructions and even at that time there was no contact, there was no way he can communicate with Narayana again. He was determined to follow the instructions and stick to it. And he intensified his practice based on what he heard. So these principles we can take, then applying to our situation within ISKCON, the spiritual masters won't be with us physically, but they are with us through the form of their lectures. If you need guidance for a particular life problem, say for example, and you are open to receive that instructions from your spiritual master, but he is not there. With that sincere prayers, you can go through the lecture that is given on various topics and see the topic that he has spoken on addresses one of your issues. Even if you don't scroll through and analyze it, if you have that sound way, okay, let me hear from your spiritual master. Any lecture you pick up and hear, many times it happened to me that whatever I need to hear in that particular circumstance will come through that lecture, through that purport. So by this, either in this purport or this is the mystic potency of receiving guidance through disciplic succession. This is mystic. If we explain this to others, they will say, oh, come on, you must be kidding. But we as bhakti yogis, we know it happens to you. So that the key principles are that you be open to receive instructions, even though they are not physically with you. How do you know they are pleased? Is by looking at what they have said in the lectures. If you are fulfilling it to your best extent, to that extent you are fulfilling it. Then third is to consult with senior converts who are ahead of you in spiritual life. Consult them. And that way you are with them through instructions and they follow.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Prabhuji, as you said that the super soul, it takes out the memory of the previous life, but still nowadays we see a few people who still remember their previous lives.
Yes.
So, how is that?
How would you answer when somebody asks you this question? In group distribution or something, what will be your answer?
If somebody asks me the same question, I'm not quite sure, Rosie.
You're not quite sure, okay. So Krishna reserves the right to reveal how much ever he wants to, depending on the living being. In some cases he does give them the remembrance, but in most of the cases he does not. Yeah, they have a lot of proof of past life memories, experiences, there's a whole theme there where it is recorded. Some of them remember. Interestingly, one in Mumbai, one person attending one of the Jain himself discovery course, he said he himself is a case of remembering past life memories. So nobody took him very seriously, but then later His Grace Vajri High Prabhu spoke to him, found out, and he's from a particular background, but he could speak other languages, which was not his mother tongue. Then they did the whole investigation and found out it was true. So Krishna reserves the right to reveal some he doesn't. So that's how we understand. He treats everyone differently.
And Richard Prabhuji, I had another question that if in the previous life somebody has some connection with devotees, then like if in the next life they remember it, there might be like if in the previous life they have some connection with the devotee, so if they remember it in the next life, they might practice the bhakti better. So like some people, they don't remember if they did bhakti in the previous life.
But based on what Krishna said in the Gita, he is putting you in a spiritual family, and he will also give you the remembrance of bhakti, what you have done. Say for example, in past life you have finished 30% or 40%. Krishna says you will start off from where you left, which means the soul remembers that much of advancement it has done. The real example in Bhagavatam is Bharat Maharaj. He was so advanced. Unfortunately, he took the body of the deer, but the bhakti that he did was not lost. So you will take off from where you left. So in the case of children who are in the devotee family gives them a good environment, and then the memories, they come back. And then when you start interacting, the more will come back, and you will take off from where you left off in the last previous life. So the environment is a proof that you have done something good in the past life. The fact that you are born in the devotee family proves that you have done some devotional activity, and you pick up things with you from there. Yeah. We'll end here. Grantarasana Bhagavatam Ki Jaya Sarva Bhagavatam.